Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breathing In Magazine, the radio show. I am your host, Nicole Cleveland. I am founder of Breathing In Magazine and author of So He Cheated, Now What? Now, Breathing In Magazine is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. We come to you and provide guests that have powerful testimonies. God has delivered them through so many different things, and we bring them to you just to share with you, to encourage you, and let you know that if God did it for them, He surely can do it for you. Today is September 29th, 2011. Where does the time go? And I know I say that over and over again, but I cannot believe that it is almost the end of September. School is back in the swing of things. We have gotten back on our routine in my household. So glory be to God, because I'm so glad that the kids are back in school. Today, I have a super-duper guest. He is my friend. He is an encourager. I love him. My family loves him. He has encouraged so many people. He is a elder, a father, a husband, a writer, a graphic designer, and so much more. I'm talking about John Donaldson now. John found out the shocking news of his conception at the age of 38. His mother was raped and chose to keep the innocent child, and that child was John. And I just commend him for sharing his story. Because we hear about it from women over and over again, but we rarely hear it from men. And it's so many different men that I admire. Oliver Reed is one of them, John, my husband, Pastor Cliff Coward. But to be so transparent, to share their stories with other people and not worry about the pride and what people will think of them, my hats are off to them. I commend them. So to God be the glory, and I'm grateful anytime that I could come before God's people and share somebody's story. So, John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Nicole. How are you, sis?
I'm great. We're going to try to behave today, okay?
I'm trying to keep it in mind that we're on live.
Okay. We just have fun. We laugh a lot. And, you know, people take themselves too seriously. Right, John?
That's right. But not us.
That's right. So I just want to welcome you to the show. And, I look back over my life. I look back over your life. And I can't look back over your life like you can, but just the snippet that I know that you have gone through, my hats go off to you and go off to God, because to God be the glory, because He has done some things in your life. And I know a little bit about you, but I want you to tell the listeners, who is John Donaldson?
Well, born the son of a sharecropper back in, no, I'm just kidding.
You know
I'm originally from Chicago. My mom and my brother and sisters still live there, all the rest of my family. U.S. Navy veteran. I lived in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area for a while. Moved to Richmond. Went to college there. Well, here. Went on to do accounting, business, and administration, human resources. I worked as a financial aid officer at a college for like 7 years, and I just got, you know, I was just kind of caught up in, I was on the wrong side of the fence, you know, wanting so much to help people, but by the time they came into my office to receive help, you know, most of the time it was too late. So, you know, I got out, started my own business, a few home-based things, trying to get those things up and going. I involved heavily in ministry, my wife and I. Married for 11 years now.
Woohoo! So, Charlene.
Yeah, only 41 years young, but married. And I want to make this point. I'll say I'm remarried. I like to make that point for all the religious folk out there who think that divorce is the unforgivable sin.
But even
Jesus mentioned that, you know, with the Samaritan woman, that she had five husbands, but he noticed that she was married, so he does honor marriage. The Bible doesn't say she was a whore; it just says she had husbands before. So,
Lord have mercy, John.
So she was married before, and he was still able to use her in ministry. So, you know, I had to come to that realization, because knowing I had a passion in my heart for marriage ministry, and then having been married before, going through the divorce, going through, you know, the infidelity, going through all of that stuff that, you know, we go through as people that are trying to serve God, I had to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to use that or let somebody else use that to tie me up and say, you know, well, you can't be effective, you know, in
That's
a marriage
right.
ministry. You know, this is not your first and only wife. So I said, well, just take it up with the Lord.
Oh, there you go. Now, I told the listeners earlier, you're transparent. You get what you get from you. So it is what it is. Now, I knew if I unleashed you, you was going to preach now. So can you just keep it down a little bit, okay?
I'm trying.
That's good. Look, when I was actually putting the show together today, I didn't realize that it was 3 years ago to the day that you found out that you were conceived by rape. 9/29/08. Now, that's just amazing to me, but, you know, God sets it up that way. I didn't know that it was going to be this day, this time, this hour, this year that you would be on the show, but it just happened like that. So take me back to that day, John, when you found out that you were conceived by rape.
Yeah, and it seems that he only uses Nicole to bring out things like that, because I didn't know it until you...
There you go. That's me.
But, yeah, I actually remember the day pretty well. You know, I don't remember exactly how my mom and I got to that question, but I remember coming home from we had intercessory prayer earlier that day, and, you know, I came home and I called my mom. I wanted to talk to her about some things that had just been on my heart. You know, just some questions I had about myself, and, you know, I have an 8-year-old son. You know, at the time he was 5, but still, with all of the things that I had come through in my life, you know, dealing with, you know, just self-esteem issues, dealing with pornography addictions, dealing with all kinds of things as a man trying to love the Lord, you know, I wanted to find out more about, you know, who I am. Why am I thinking this way? Why am I having these battles in my mind, knowing that, you know, I gave my life to the Lord, but this stuff is still here. But anyway, I knew that was a natural side to it as well. So I called my mom, you know, to talk to her, you know, just wanted to know some more, because I had a first name and a last name. And, you know, the first name I had gotten from an aunt, you know, maybe years and years ago. And then a few years I got a last name from my mom. She never talked about them, never, you know, really said anything about it. So, you know, I called her and I, you know, was like, what happened with you and this man, or, you know, what was the situation with my father? And, you know, it took a little bit to get her to open up. She's, you know, she's really quiet, doesn't really talk a lot. You know, I joke a lot with her, but, you know, this time she knew that, you know, I really had something that I wanted to talk about. But when she finally opened up, you know, she said that when she was 15, she was raped. And and this, you know, this man was, he was the person who was my father. And, you know, just recently I'd actually called her back to talk a little bit more about it, because I noticed on my birth certificate that, you know, it says her age was 15, that the boy's age was 16. But it was just a few more details just kind of nagging at me, you know. So I asked her, you know, I was like, you know, is this a situation where you and this guy were dating, you know, maybe things got a little out of hand, you know, or is it something that was a little more, you know, forceful, violent? And I know some of the listeners may be, you know, listening and like, you know, what difference does it make? She was raped. But if you're thinking how I was thinking and just trying to sort through all of this, there's a difference to me, you know, and when I'm thinking about spiritual transfers and I'm thinking about, you know, other things that were going on, that's a lot deeper than, you know, okay, you were conceived by rape. Okay, what type of relationship was it? You know, so those things were, they were important details for me, you know, and I needed to know, you know, and trying to raise my son, you know, and seeing things and seeing him headed in ways that, you know, I try to protect him from. Even at 8 years old, you know, I find myself having to guide him away from things like the Jet Beauty of the Week, you know.
Right.
My wife picking up the magazine and it's like, okay, he's looking at that. I was like, okay, yeah, I got to sit down and talk to him because there's so much more that, you know, that parents, as parents, I don't just leave it on the moms. I know we have a lot of women listeners, but parents, those fathers, father figures, you know, be open, be transparent, let them know, you know, I messed up too. You know, I made a lot of mistakes, made some bad decisions, but this is how you handle it. This is how you manage that, you know, manage the emotions.
Right. Now, John, when that evening when you were talking to him, talking to your mother, that was the first time you've ever asked a question about your father?
Well, it wasn't so much the first time I ever asked. I guess I kind of hinted around it, you know, from time to time. I never really sat down with her, you know, seriously and just, you know, really, you know, put forth that effort that I wanted to know. You know, I would bring it up, you know, every now and then, you know, what was his name? Or, you know, you never talk about him. You never say anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just left it at that. You know, he wasn't around. I never knew him. I never saw him that I know of. So it just didn't matter to me at the time. But, you know, as years went by, you know, those things just started to, you know, question marks, you know, come up in my mind. You know, I put my hats off to all of the women out there who are having to play the role as mother and father. But I always say this, even though you're playing that role, there is still something missing in that young man's life. There is something, a void there that God did not create you to fill. So, you know, you may be doing everything you know how to do both roles as a parent, but there's still something that child needs that a man was designed to give. And that even though he's not in your life, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? I think as adults, and we don't understand it as children, but we know when something is off topic to talk about, even as children. I can remember me growing up and wanting to say something, but kind of like, okay, I'm scared to say it. And even as adults now, and we're not exempt from it, we do the same thing with our children. If there's a question that comes up and we don't want to answer it, we know how to do that thing where our children know, don't ask that question without them even asking. Which is not right, but it's something that all of us do. None of us are exempt. Now, John, were you bitter? Were you angry? Were you mad? Did you curse God? What happened? Or was it just you were at peace?
It's funny. I never would have expected to respond the way that I did. You know, it was just a peace. I mean, I don't know if... everything that I had been through or, you know, it was just where I was at that time in my life that, you know, I just looked at it like I understood where this man, you know, I don't understand why he did it, but with all that I had been studying, all that I had learned, all that I had experienced as a man, I knew that whatever he did at the age of 16, he didn't even understand. You know, he was probably responding to something that he had picked up. Maybe he had been molested. Maybe he had been touched by someone else, an uncle or father. You know, that's the way I looked at it. So I wasn't angry with him. I was able to forgive him. You know, so it wasn't a negative thing. It was it allowed me to add another piece to the puzzle, you know, to try to figure out, you know, these things. But, you know, I wasn't angry or upset. So,
that's good. Yeah, that's good. And, you know, God is just bad like that. He has a way of preparing us. We don't know what he's preparing us for, but when that thing comes out or when that storm comes out, we can stand steady and we are rooted and grounded in the word of God that we may handle it. That's why we got to have their word on the inside of us, and we got to, because the storms of life is going to come. We're going to find out some things and go through some things, but are we prepared for them? And you were prepared for it. Now, how's the relationship with your mother? Because you know what, even outside of the relationship with you and her, I believe everything is fine with you guys, but she carried around that secret for so long, and I know, and all of us as adults know, there's some things we have never shared with anybody but God, and that thing does something to you. So how is she doing?
Well, and I thank you for bringing that up, because I still pray for her, you know, for her healing in that area.
Yeah.
And I want her to open up more. I asked her permission, you know, when she told me if she would allow me to write about it. So now, you know, some of my family members know about it. And, you know, even talking with her since then a little bit more, you know, getting her to share some things, you know, she feels that I've done okay, you know, with my life. You know, I never let it stop me. You know, I have children, I have grandchildren, and, she believes that everything is okay, but I'm still trying to just admonish her. I want you to still get some help. You know, she's never had counseling. She's never to carry something like that for all that time. You know, even though you have the job, you have the car, you have the house, and you have all these things that, on the outside, say, I'm okay, I did okay, despite you never really know how much, you know, it affected you. And I tell her, you know, yeah, you have done okay, but I can assure you that God has so much more planned for your life. You know, if you were able to get free from it. I said, number one, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't something that you did, something you asked for, but, you know, it's something that happened, but you have to get free from it. You have to open up, you know, get some type of help, some counseling, or, you know, just some way to get that off of you.
Yeah, well, I will definitely continue to pray for her and pray for her healing and all of that. So to God be the glory. You know what, John? This radio show is about solutions as well. Yes, we talk about what happened, but we also talk about how God took us through it, how he delivered us. But I want you to encourage somebody right now. I want you, somebody may be listening. Somebody may not be as vocal as myself or as you, and they may be listening, or they may listen to the archives. They may have gone through this. Encourage them, but they're still bitter. They're mad. They're holding on to it, and they don't understand why it happened to them. I want you to minister to them right now for about 60 seconds.
Okay. Well, if you're a woman and you can relate to the experience, you know, holding on to secrets from your past, you know that there is a God who loves you. You know, despite what happened to you, despite what people said about you or what was done to you, you can still be free. You know, what happened to you was not God's will for your life. And, you know, you can still work to the plan that he has for you. You know, the enemy is not going to destroy your life over what happened in your life. There is an anointing for healing right now where you are to deal with that issue, you know, to heal the memory, to take you through the process and making it less painful every day. You know, you have to tell God where it hurts, even though he knows, even though he saw it, he was right there when it happened. But something that I heard that Joyce Meyer said, you know, that reminded me, you know, when people ask, why did God allow this to happen? Why did he, you know, why didn't he stop it? He said, I was in the same place I was when they killed my son. You know, when those things were did to my son, where was I? I was right there. So it doesn't mean that he won't allow the things to happen, but that no matter what happens, he can still work it out to your good for his will. If it's a man out there listening, maybe the archives, maybe, you know, just in the room listening as the wife, if there's something that you've committed or something you've done or something you've experienced in your life that you can relate to in this area, know that you don't have to define your manhood by your childhood. You don't have to continue to be who you once were. You know, whatever state you're in, there's healing for you as well. You know, take the opportunity, ask God to help you find the missing pieces. You know, women are not the only ones who sit by the well, you know, trying to fill voids. You know, men use things to fill voids too. You know, other people, positions, things, food, drugs, sex, whatever. You know, there's a void inside of all of us, but there's only one person who can fill it, and that's Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Praise God. That's a good segue, too, because we're going to break for about a minute, and then we're going to come right back, because not only have you survived being conceived by rape, and you have dealt with that with the peace of God, you're also a writer, and we're going to talk about some of your writings, particularly this last piece that you wrote for Breathing In magazine called A Man's Pride. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did he cheat and you don't know what you're going to do? Are you struggling with rebuilding trust? If not, then you know someone that is. So He Cheated, Now What? By Nicole Cleveland is one woman's personal testimony of overcoming an affair in her marriage, an affair that produced a child. No, it's not about catching a cheating spouse or 6 ways to get him back or 12 ways to find out if he's cheating. It's all about forgiveness and moving past the pain into her purpose. Visit SoHeCheated.com or call 757-404-1582.
Welcome back to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I have on the line with me today Elder John Donaldson. He just shared his powerful testimony of being conceived by rape and how God just took him through and how he's ministering to others. And now we're going to be talking about his articles. He just wrote a piece for us called A Man's Pride. And in this piece, you talk a lot about dying to self. John, why is it so important when you're looking at a man's pride that you cast down that pride?
I don't even want to go into that. I don't, because I'm prideful right now. I don't want to talk about it. No.
You know what? Nicole, I tell you, I don't know what kind of timing or what kind of alarm clock God gives you to call me with stuff like this.
But my wife and I just went through something like this yesterday. And it's a good thing she's not here, so I can just tell my part of it.
All
but
right.
Anyway.
He do it like that all the time.
But when you asked about the article and when I was writing it at that time, I was thinking about years ago I had wanted to I was thinking about it was called Fallen Angels, and I was thinking about how in the world can the devil, who was created to be right there next to God in the throne room ministering to him in song and all these things, how can he be allowed to convince a third of the angels to try to overthrow? And I said, all of this stuff happened.
Mutiny.
Yeah, a mutiny. I said, all of this stuff happened right there. I said, God, right in your presence, you know, you allowed this to happen. But, you know, we all have that same spirit of pride. You know, we talk about different levels of sin, adultery, fornication, all these things we put in categories. But rebellion, anything that is against what God told you to do and you don't want to do it, that's a thing of rebellion, and it comes from a root of pride. So anytime your God tells you to apologize to your husband or say something nice to your kids, you're not supposed to be yelling at them like that. But if you don't do it, then that's rebelling against what you know God wants you to do. So there's some pride there somewhere. But anyway, when I got to the article, I thought about all the things that Jesus went through, knowing he was going to have to go through. And I focused on one phrase, and that was that he decided to die. I thought about that song that, you know, all the choir sing around Easter and, you know, Good Friday.
Right.
He would not come from the cross, you know. And I thought about that, and I just kept thinking about that one phrase, he decided to die. He knew ahead of time. He made a conscious decision. I'm going to be the one to die. You know, I'm not going to be prideful, even though I don't deserve it, even though it's not my fault, it's not my sin. I'm not the one that's wrong, but for the sake of the relationship. And that's a personal thing with everybody. So his relationship with Nicole, he made the decision to, his relationship with me, he made the decision to die. So that was, you know, where it came from.
Okay, okay. And so why is it so prevalent in marriages, though? You know I'm going to go there, John. We do. We talk about this. We go back and forth all the time. And, you know, you set me straight because when I talked to you or I sent you an email about doing the article on a man's pride, you definitely put that plug in there that it's not just a man's pride. It's a woman's pride, too, because we do got pride. None of us want to be the first to say, I'm sorry. And my husband and I have just gotten to a point where it's just like, it is what it is. Sorry. So basically we should be in competition to say I'm sorry. We're not going nowhere. It don't make no sense to be breaking stuff and fussing and fighting, knowing that we're going to have to pay for it after the fact. We mad on one side of the bed, the other one on the other side of the bed. We done drew a line in the middle kicking each other if you come across the line. In the bed. Why is it, John? Talk to me.
Man, I feel good because I'm not the only one to feel that way.
No, you're not the only one.
That is funny. Well, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. You know, women are crazy.
You know what?
I can't figure it out.
You'll know what's wrong with us, huh?
No, but that's a good way to look at it. I'm going to hold on to that. You know, it should be a competition between the two of us to say I'm sorry, to, you know, be the first one to apologize. And that's a good way to look at it. But, you know, I really can't explain it. You know, I'm in the same boat you're in, trying to understand this pride and set it down and say, look, pick your battles because this is really small. It doesn't matter. She raised your voice at you, and she really shouldn't have, but, you know, it's okay.
It is what it is. So, look, John, we could talk about pride all day long, but I really want to get into, for real, but I really want to get into what you do. You're a graphic designer. You're a writer. You're a freelancer. You got a lot of things going on. So I want you to tell the listeners how they can get in contact with you and what your specialty is.
Okay, well, you can get in contact with me. I'm actually rebuilding a website right now, but my email address, my company is Revelations Media, Revelations Christian Media, so revelationscm@gmail.com, or J. Donelson, my last name is donelson.rcm@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. I like to do videos, so I'm on YouTube as well. But I like, you know, different types of media. I do PowerPoint presentations. I do videos. I do graphic design, creating logos. It actually all started because I try to catch myself from saying small church, but I was in a small congregation years ago. And, you know, the pastor, we were always having different services and different outreach things going on, and she would want flyers and banners and things like that. So that's why I just started brushing in my skills. But, you know, a lot of the churches that we fellowshipped with in our circle, there were so many things that were out there and available that they didn't have access to or didn't know were out there, you know, because of funds or just not being, you know, knowledgeable of what was available. So that was the whole purpose of me actually going back to school. So I took business, accounting, human resource management, because I wanted to go out and teach other churches about, you know, how to function as a small business, or, you know, how to do certain things. So that's why I honed skills at graphic design, and I was doing business cards for pastors and, you know, doing the flyers, doing PowerPoint presentations and things like that, creating websites, and, you know, it just kind of grew from there. So, you know, the church where we are now agape, and, you know, have help now. Your husband is coming back home. Thank the Lord. It's just been a passion of mine. You know, it's something that I enjoy doing, and just trying to find a way that I can kind of mold it into a system where I can help people and still be able to travel, still be able to have time for my family, still be able to minister and, you know, get the bills paid. So that's where I am.
That's good. Yeah, and you do amazing work. You have done some work for Breathe Again magazine, not just writing but graphic design. You put the whole package together for my husband and I for our marriage, Why Should I Stay special, and you know, you do wonderful work. So if you're in need, listeners, of a graphic designer, if you're in need of a freelance writer, if you're in need of someone to create business cards or any type of postcards or materials, get up with John. You can click on his link on my actual page on the radio show. And, you know, it's been real, John. God bless you, brother. I love you. I love
you.
I love you.
Thank you so much, sis. Love you, too. I'm so happy that you called, you know, asked me to be a part of it. You know, all your listeners out there, I know you guys have been supporting Nicole and listening to all the things that she asked for you, reading the articles, but just stay connected with her. She's an awesome woman of God. She and her husband are wonderful people, and I'm so happy to be in covenant with them and to just, you know, be called upon to do whatever. You know, as soon as she calls, she knows that I'm here to support Breathe Again and whatever she's doing, because she is definitely good soil in the kingdom. So I encourage you, sis, keep up the good work, and I'm proud of you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Give Charlene hugs and kisses for me and the baby for me. So God bless you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Listeners, that's it. You know, this has been blessed. We dedicated the whole show to John and all the things God has done for him, and how he has overcome certain things in his life, conceived by rape. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. John is actually going to be back again and again, because he has so much to share with the body of Christ, because he is an asset in the body of Christ, in the kingdom, not religion, but relationship. Remember that. So if you have a powerful testimony and you want to be on the show, email us at radioshow@breatheagain.org. Check out the website. You know, read those overcoming articles. Listen to the archives of the radio show. We don't do this just to be doing it. We really want to connect the dots. That's what God gave me. We are here to connect the dots. Maybe I may not have been through what you've been through, but I can get somebody on the line, or I can post their article to share that you're not the only one. You're not the only one that cried those tears. You're not the only one that screamed that scream. But if God did it for them, he'll definitely do it for you. Check us out. And if you ever need to contact me, editor@breatheagain.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. And remember, it's never goodbye. It is until next time. God bless you.